From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zipessa. Zipessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Mumta Hedge is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mumta Hedge is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunnavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprin is fourth and is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios this 18th day of November 2017, which means that we are only 168 days, 8 hours, 54 minutes, and 30 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on Saturday, May 5th.
I can wait.
Come on. That 168 days is going to go by very quickly, Pontiff.
Yes, unfortunately it is.
It will go by very... Come on, it's the Derby.
Yeah.
There's only one Derby.
There's only one Derby.
By the way, that means that we are just 14 days until the opening of the Gulfstream Park Championship meet, which features the $1.1 million claiming crown, which you're going to hear on radio, right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That comes your way Saturday, December 2nd. And that's going to be an outstanding day of racing, too. Always is.
Yay. Can't wait for that.
So more pumped up about the claiming crown than the Kentucky Derby.
Dude, it's 28 degrees in Kentucky.
I
want to go to Florida. Yeah, well, today's an outlier.
But it's going to be 28.
I've been freezing my tuchus off all week long. I cannot wait to see the beautiful Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is feast week in a lot of different sports. Of course, Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. The NFL will be in full swing. You have college basketball, college football. So if you're a sports fan, it's a great time of year to just kick back on the couch and enjoy some food and maybe a beverage or two and watch some sporting events. Also a great time to be a racing fan. And racing's version of Feast Week begins on Monday. That's right, Monday at Mahoning Valley in Youngstown, Ohio, with the Steel Valley Sprint, and then continues on Wednesday at Penn National with three stakes races, the Blue Mountain Juvenile, the Swaterra, and the Fabulous Strike, and then Hobbs, New Mexico, and Zia Park has nine stakes races on Wednesday, three quarter horse races, six thoroughbred races, including the Zia Park Derby and Zia Park Oaks. And by the way, we're going to have coverage of those races from Penn and Zia on Wednesday right here on HRN.
That's going to be interesting, huh?
It'll be fun.
We don't get to cover those tracks very often.
No, once a year we get to broadcast those races. Of course, the races from Penn National, simply tremendous. The Zia Park races, the Derby, the Oaks, those are always rock solid too, and they shaped up with great fields again this year.
Yeah, I've never been to Zia Park. It's one of the spots I've missed.
You'll have to make a trip.
One of these days.
One of these days, you'll have to do that.
It's warmer there, too, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Should have done that one live.
How about Friday at Churchill? What a race there. The Grade 1.
Cold and wet.
you just want to be in warm climates, right?
I do. I like to follow the sun. I have no use for cold weather. None.
We can stay inside and watch the Clark at Churchill.
We're not going to Churchill, are we?
No.
Well,
you may be over there. I'm not going to actually make it over there on Friday, unfortunately, but should be a really good day. The Grade 1 Clark is the featured race on Friday, part of Feast Week here in the world of thoroughbred racing. On Saturday, the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club and the Grade 2 Goldenrod. And again, playing into that road to the Kentucky Derby picture, you remember last year we saw our number one draft pick in the fantasy league, McCracken, win the Kentucky Jockey Club, and we fell in love with him that day.
Yeah, lest we forget. Yeah, my mother-in-law is going to be in town. The chances of me going racing any of those days is Slimsky and Nunsky.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a great day. You can watch him on television, of course, and join us Wednesday for our coverage of all the races from Zia and Penn right here on HRRN. All right, so over the course of the next 2 hours, going to be a very busy morning. We're going to really focus primarily on the races coming up at Penn Gaming, at Mahoning Valley, at Penn National, at Zia Park. We'll have special guests on to talk about those races. And we're going to have Buff Bradley on with us, the man who has trained so many outstanding horses. He has another good one in the Player, Son of Street Hero, who is pointing for the Clark Handicap on Friday. And ridden by Calvin Burrell, last time out won the Fayette right here at Keeneland in Lexington, and now has won 4 of 10 starts, and he's an interesting horse. We'll let Buff, I don't want to steal his thunder, we'll let Buff tell you the story of the Player, but he does some really quirky things when he's not at the racetrack.
Yeah, well, maybe we can cuddle up together.
Buff's always fun. We're looking forward to that visit coming up here in just a few minutes. He'll join us after our first commercial break. Ed Vomacka, the racing secretary at Mahoning Valley, will be with us at 8:35 Eastern. Eric Johnston, 9 o'clock Eastern. He's the director of racing operations at Penn National. And then at 9:23 Eastern time, we're going to be joined by Dustin and David Vest. They are his dad, anyways, David, the owner of Vest Fabrication here in the Bluegrass. And they do an awful lot of work with the horse farms in this area. And they'll tell you more about that in the second half of the show. And then Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park. He's going to be with us at 9:40 Eastern. Your take on some of those races, JTV, I don't even know if you had a chance to take a peek at the races at Zia and Penn and, you know, the races coming up on Wednesday. Have you looked at those yet?
I have not pulled up the cards for those races yet. I've just been trying to get through this week.
What catches your eye this week on the racing calendar?
This weekend, you mean? Or
yeah. Well, whenever.
Well, I think the races at Churchill are really good races today, but unfortunately the weather sucks. So, I thought the card was good. Aqueduct has some excellent racing today as well. But again, you know, with the there's turf races and what's the weather like and what's the course like. There's so many question marks. And of course, we got some racing at Del Mar, and the weather's ordinarily nice there.
typically.
Yeah. So those races were interesting, but I think it's a shame that Churchill is having storms all day, because it's not going to be as good as it could have been.
Yeah, the weather here in Central Kentucky, the forecast, as Jude alluded to, not good. Expecting maybe up to 50-mile-an-hour winds coming up later this afternoon. So we just hope that everybody is safe and that the weather cooperates, at least so they can get that program in later today in Louisville.
Fairgrounds has a nice card too for Indiana.
Louisiana?
Louisiana breads. Get Indiana breads on my mind. But there's a lot of good stakes action down there too that Anthony and I covered on the stakes preview show. So they should have decent weather, it looks like.
And you can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview with Jude and Anthony. That's up there now. All their selections for the big races coming up this weekend. It's the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. And one other sidebar, while you're there on our website, you might as well go ahead and take a listen to Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton from this past week. Jude had the chance to visit with trainer Pete Miller, and JT, I have not had the chance to listen to it yet, but from the response I've seen on social media, people really enjoyed that program.
Yeah, Pete and I enjoyed doing it too. He sent me a text afterwards and said it was fun. But it was a little walk down memory lane for both of us, and we've known one another a long time, I would say, in the vicinity of 35 years maybe. So It was a good visit, and we got to talk old times and new times and his tremendous success, and a lot of people were very kind to send a text or put something on Twitter about the show, so I was pleased about that. It was a fun show to do.
Yeah, well, you can check that out. Again, it's on our website, horseracingradio.com. EquineFora.net. We're going to get to our first commercial break of the morning. When we come back, trainer Buff Bradley will join us. He'll talk about the player who is pointing for that grade one Clark at Churchill Downs on Friday afternoon. That kicks it all off right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Just over a quarter mile to come. Neolithic, the player in second. A length separate the top two. Gap of six to Honorable Duty, McCracken, Giuseppe the Great, and Malibu Pro. Neolithic with the player making a run at him from the outside. Into the final furlong of the Haggard Fayette. The player has taken the lead by a neck. Neolithic grudgingly giving way in second. The player in front for Calvin Borrell and trainer Buff Bradley. The player to win the Haggard Fayette. Neolithic was home second, and then further back it was McCracken in third, Giuseppe the Great fourth, and Malibu Pro fifth in 1 minute, 48 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. We are in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studio. Kurt Becker with the call of the Fayette Stakes. That was at Keeneland. Just a few weeks ago, and the player getting the victory that day for trainer Buff Bradley and jockey Calvin Borrell. That is the fourth win of the player's career, and his earnings now up over $345,000. He is pointing for the Grade 1 Clark Handicap this coming Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. He'll be at Churchill Downs to compete in that race and look to add a Grade 1 to his resume if he can pull off a victory beneath the Twin Spires. Buff Bradley is with us now. Buff, first of all, good morning and thanks for taking the time. How about that trip down memory lane?
Oh, that was really nice. Thank you for having me, Mike.
You know,
that was a special victory. It really was.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures on social media that were posted right afterwards, and it, you know, the expression on your face and Calvin, that race really did mean a lot. How come?
Well, it was one of the last horses that my dad bred, and he's been a special family horse since day one. I mean, he's always been such a character with a lot of personality, very intelligent horse, and so he's been one of the family's favorites throughout his life. So, you know, to see him put it all together and have a good run at some nice horses, you know, that's special.
He's kind of a lightly raced horse, huh? You pick your spots carefully with him.
Well, and we took some time with him, you know, early on, because he's just a big old horse, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't pound him into the ground too early. We wanted to make sure that he was, you know, fully mature before he really got to, you know, got rolling with him.
Yeah, well, he has become a fully mature horse and really hits his best stride now. Buff, if you were going to describe him, you mentioned his personality, and I talked about this earlier when we opened the show, that he has some personality traits and some quirks that are somewhat unique to the player. If you were going to describe him, how would you do it?
He's very much like a kid. I mean, he's always messing with you and trying to get you to, you know, play with him. And we'll do just the funny things. You know, he'll lie down in the mornings and stick his head out the door underneath the gate and try to get peppermints from you. And on Derby Day, he did that. And, you know, all the kids came by and would pet him, and he wouldn't even care. He sits in a stall. You know, we walk by and he'll just be sitting in a stall. So he sits like a dog. So he's really funny doing that. And, yeah, he does. He's just got a really neat personality.
He looks like he could be a super important horse next year. The handicap ranks thinning out a little bit, and the fact that he goes a mile and an eighth without any problem, he can probably go a lot farther.
Yeah, I think, we had that question in mind, whether how far he was going to go and where he was with his distance. I thought early on he might be a miler, but no, he really shows that he likes stretching out, that he's got the speed to be close and carry on with it. So that makes for a better racehorse. And I think that was what really got us excited after his last win, showing that, you know, he's got the speed to be right there and then go on with it. You know, he ran against a very nice horse, an Awesome Slough, the race before in the ACAC. And you know, he got ran down that day, and that horse ran an awesome race that day. So you know, we got outrun that day, but we thought, you know, if we can move forward by going further, then, you know, we've got a better racehorse. So, and that's what it showed us.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes Gilded Time throws those horses that can go a long distance. It kind of goes against, you know, what he was as a racehorse. But I've noticed as a broodmare sire, he's really got some distance genes in there somewhere. The horses seem to be able to go a long ways.
Right, and most of his family is going longer. So, you know, his half brother ran well at Kentucky Downs. That race, I think, was a mile and 3/8 or something. So, you know, we do think that now the distance is probably not going to be a problem for him.
Buffy had a workout yesterday. 113.40 was the time for that work, according to the Churchill Downs clocker. John Nichols, your thoughts on that workout and how you're bringing him up to a race like the Grade 1 Clark?
Well, one thing that we've learned about him, he early on, he's a fast horse, and I was trying to slow him down a little bit more in his workouts, and I just don't think he was getting as much out of him. So I've let him work on his own lately, but yesterday, the week before last, I really wanted a good strong work in him, and he went 59-3, and we were very happy with that because he did it well in hand even then. Yesterday, he had two horses that broke off about two lengths in front of him right when Calvin was getting ready to drop down in the breeze. So Calvin just let those go on, and he sat behind him. and ended up getting four or five lengths behind him. And then in the stretch, Calum said, "You're my eighth pole." He said he wanted to just go get him, so he just let him go by him and galloped out really strong. And it went a minute flat for 5.8, so that's what we were looking at. And then galloped out, and as you said, 13-2, I guess it was. So, and just around there, and he came back, and really, I mean, he recovered pretty quickly. You know, he was going around the shed row looking for peppermints pretty quickly.
How many peppermints do you figure he eats a day?
You know, a bunch, because every time I go by there, he's like looking at me, we're like, "Where is it?" And I'm like, "Well, you keep running like that, you'll get one every time I pass you."
Have you ever been around a horse with this much personality?
Well, I've been around, you know, the good horses, they seem to show a little bit more class and personality sometimes, because I just think back about Brass Hat or Groupie Doll, Pesadero, some of those that really, you could just see how intelligent they are and stuff. But I have not been around a horse that has had this much personality, just the way he's been, and knowing him his whole life, I think, is just, you know, I've got more pictures of him than I got of my kids, unfortunately, to say, on my phone. And we laugh about it all the time, and, you know, about, "Oh, look, here, let me show you a picture of the player," you know. I was like, well, the kids laugh about it, too, though.
Well, it worked for Carolyn Hine.
They've got several.
Yeah, a truly special horse. Talking with Buff Bradley, the trainer of the player, who is pointing for that Grade 1 Clark Handicap at Churchill on Friday. Buff, can you give us an update on some of the other major contenders that are pointing for that race?
You know, I'm not really sure. I've talked to some. I mean, I think, you know, Brendan Walsh's horse, Honorable Duty, he's going to be a different horse probably running over here. I don't think that he really liked the off track, you know, at Keeneland. So I expect him to run a much bigger race, and I'm sure he'll be tough to handle. You're going to run against good horses. You're running great ones. People are going to show up with their horses, and Opportunity, Diversify, all of those look like they're coming in it pretty well.
Buff Bradley with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Buff, so our good friend Mike D'Anzaris with Embrace the Race noticed the press release that you were going to be on the program with us today, and he sent me an email last night, and he said, "Let Buff know that we have some new tie colors for him when he comes on the show." So
good. That's what I need. I mean, you notice when I won a big race, I had the tie on.
I know you did. Yeah, it's a prevalent in the winner's circle now, and I know he's very appreciative of that. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to send you another gift from Embrace the Race for coming on the show here with us again. But outside of the clothing and the ties and everything that Mike sends to you, what is it that makes you embrace the sport of thoroughbred racing?
I don't know. I love it. Love coming here and love being around the horses. And, you know, you love just seeing, you want to get the most out of your horses just to do the best of their ability. And when you see that and see the excitement of the grooms and the hot walkers and the exercise riders, the assistants, everybody, the blacksmiths, you know, everybody getting excited about it. I think that's why we love it, because we are a big family back here.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better. That's Buff Bradley, trainer of the player. Buff, as always, we appreciate a few minutes here this morning, and all the best this week with the player and with everybody else that you're going to send out. Keep it rolling.
Thank you all so much.
All right, Buff Bradley. Perfect words there to end the interview too, right? It's a big family, and you know that better than anybody, JT, training for 20 years.
Yeah, it's interesting how everybody kind of pulls together, and you root for your friends, and there's always people that root against you. but the people that you're close to, they want you to win, and they know how hard it is. I think that's the thing that trainers have in common. We all know what difficulties can befall you in this business, and it's a celebration when somebody wins a big race. You love to see it. Even if it's not you or you're not involved, if it's one of your friends, you just appreciate the fact that they're getting recognized for their work and how much it is to overcome to win a race. You know, Shea Knight, he said it a long time ago. When you win a race, you should be able to rent the winner's circle and have a party in it, you know, because you work so hard to get there.
Yeah.
And they lead the horse in and they snap the picture and you're out. You know, sometimes it's 30 seconds you're in the winner's circle.
Right.
You know, and you've done all this work for that 30-second bit of enjoyment, you know. And so it's true. It's a big accomplishment. If you win any race, you know, it's tough. And then if you win a big race, that's icing on the cake.
We heard Buff talk about some of the different personality traits that the player possesses. Were you ever around a horse that was that charismatic?
Ready to order. He was an amazing horse. Again, very intelligent horse. He tried to run his stall, and we had to put bales of straw in his stall to keep him from running his stall. And you know, I trained his mother. I trained his father. I bred him for Mr. Marino. Broke him. Trained him. He made like 300,000 30 or something like that. And he beat Cavaneer twice. He was an amazing horse. But he was so so clever and so clean. He was like a cat. He would poop in the corner of his stall, the same corner, the far left-hand corner, and he'd cover it up with straw like a cat. He was so fastidious, and he never had a bit of dust on him. You could go any hour of the day or night to his stall, turn on the light, and he would shine like a...
Really?
He was a beautiful horse. And so smart and so quirky, but cool. I mean, I just absolutely loved him, loved being around him. Very unique horse. And I love the fact that Bob Baffert still talks about him, still hates him for beating
because
Cavaneer.
Because he beat Cavaneer. Yeah.
But yeah, he was a cool horse.
Yeah, a very neat story. And that's, you know, Buff actually mentioned, you know, horses like Brass Hat and Groupie Doll and Divisadero, they all have that little something about them. And is that, do you find that too, that good horses just have something different about them?
Yeah, I think so. I think,
yeah.
Yeah, they're intelligent. That's the number one thing. I mean, the intelligence really shines through. Freya Stark, whose picture's up here on the wall, she was another one. She was a beautiful filly. She wasn't very quirky. She was very straightforward. She was Irish. But, you know, very straightforward filly and just a pleasure to be around and knew what she was supposed to do. And if she had something that was bugging her or whatever, she would let you know, but she trusted that you were going to take care of her. She was a very unique personality. Yeah. And, it's amazing how the good ones, they shine through in other ways besides their ability.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see if the player can shine through beneath the Twin Spires next Friday in the Grade 1 Clark Handicap. All right. We're going to go ahead and get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I tell you every week, and I've been telling you for more than a decade on this program, that if you are in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, you go see the folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. First of all, if you're in the horse business, there's no other place to go because they are the dealership and continue to be the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. They're the sponsors of the Lexus Raven Run every fall out at Keeneland. They have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store. So you talk about commitment to the horse industry. That's exactly what they do. So you go out there, you see the godfather, Tony Attiano, and you see all the great people at the Lexus store of Lexington, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello. We're going to step away for a quick break. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. We'll come back and visit with Ed Vomacca, who is the racing secretary at Mahoning Valley. That's next on HRN.
To be labeled a titan of the turf is neither to be taken lightly nor a term to be recklessly bandied about. By anybody's measure or means, the subject of this piece has to be unqualifiedly classified as indeed a true titan of the turf. His lifetime spanned the administrations of American presidents Ulysses S. Grant through Lyndon Baines Johnson. And when he passed away in 1966 as a nonagenarian at the age of 92, a bright, sparkling light in the world of thoroughbred racing suddenly went dark. He was born in a small cottage in Brooklyn, New York, on July 23, 1874, on land, which later became part of the old Sheepshead Bay racetrack. At the age of 11, on the very day Grover Cleveland was inaugurated as president, He joined the racetrack colony as an errand boy for the Dwyer Brothers stable while sleeping in the loft. He became a jockey at the age of 16 and rode until 19-1 when he switched to training. His last mount was a horse called Agnes D, who finished dead last in a field of five in the title stakes at Sheepshead Bay. The scales of justice were to be balanced, as it were, since Agnes D was the very first winner he saddled as a trainer a few races later, and with that win came the inception of an absolutely phenomenal career. Between 1907, when Tabulated Records began, and the end of his five-star career, he saddled 2,275 winners, including virtually every major stakes race east of the Mississippi. His inaugural stakes winner was Stargaze in the Merchants and Citizens Handicap in the Saratoga Cup. This guy only had a sixth-grade formal education, and he rode very poorly, but he trained thoroughbreds with unmatched success for the likes of Colonel E. V. D. Morrell, James F. Quincy Johnson, Ambassador Breckinridge Long, Senator Johnson Camden, William Woodward Sr. and Jr., Ogden Mills Phipps, Ogden Phipps, Edith Woodward Bancroft, Mrs. Whitney Sloan, dancer Vernon Castle, and a warden at the Sing Sing Prison, among many, many others. His horses, including Bold Ruler, Nashua, and Gallant Fox, won 470 stakes races. He often said his best distance horse had been Diabolo, and Johnstown his best sprinter. To this day, he's the only trainer with two Triple Crown winners to his credit, Gallant Fox and Omaha. Among other standouts he trained were Apache, Bossuet, Fighting Fox, Vagrancy, Bushanda, High Voltage, Misty Morn, Mary Lassie, and Happy Gal. The subject of this profile had another quite remarkable talent as well. He developed his own veterinary supplies for ailing horses, and he personally used them as well as prescribing them for others. Eddie Arcaro at one time had severe bursitis problems and very nearly quit riding as a result, but the man herein being profiled put Arcaro on a leg paint he had developed for horses. Now, Eddie may have had a horsey smell about him going postward, but it helped him put on many of those inimitable pumping, driving finishes going to the wire. Yes, indeed, he did have a way with riders. In the early 1900s, he took a young Hebrew rider under his tutelage whose name was Walter Miller. Miller had not ridden a single winner in 1907, his apprentice year, but in 1908 he won 388 races while under the tutorial guidance of our man. That 388-win record stood for 40 years. Hedley Woodhouse was the last to ride in the colors of our subject, red and orange. Woodhouse once apologized for giving one of his horses less than satisfactory a ride in a major stakes race, and our man replied, quote, "You couldn't have ridden him any worse than I would have." The man who went his way to meet the Grim Reaper in that great paddock in the sky at the nonagenarian age of 92 in 1966 won the Kentucky Derby three times, the Preakness four times, the Belmont six times, the Jockey Club Gold Cup seven times, the Lawrence Realization, Wood Memorial, and Alabama Stakes eight times, the Dwyer nine times, and the Saratoga Cup a remarkable 10 times. He was the man who once said, quote, "When you're away from New York, you're camping out." The saga of this venerable monument to thoroughbred racing, worthy of a Homerian epic, and the stuff of which legends are crafted, was a legend in his own time. He was Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the man from Brooklyn.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us on HRRN for Zia Park's fifth annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 22nd, featuring a total of nine thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth nearly $1.3 million in purses. Headlined by the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship, with nominations for all stakes closing Monday, November 6th. First post on Land of Enchantment Day is 12:10 Mountain Time, 2:10 Eastern Time. For more information, visit ZiaParkCasino.com.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their two-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state-bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit vabred.org for details.
Black Friday is about getting a great deal. Well, how about this one? At Tony's Steaks and Seafood, we believe in generosity. So on Black Friday only, visit our Lexington restaurant, purchase a $100 gift card, and you pay only $80. It's not valid for phone purchases, so come on in or go to tonysoflexington.com. It's valid only at the Lexington location. Drop by Tony's at 401 West Main or visit online. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
Power. And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta by Miss Aurelia. Here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker's 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Petrov is still in behind horses toward the inside and fourth. And Excitation's running fast on the outside. Petrov has an opening to the inside. Excitation's down the center of the track, and Petrov is moving up the rail. These two come to the front. Petrov, a short lead past the 16th pole, and the favorite Petrov rallies up the inside for Jose Ortiz to win at Excitation second, Shadow Tracer third, Dark Arden fourth.
Welcome back, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum. Rolling on, fun visit with Buff Bradley talking about the player in our previous segment, and now we turn our attention to racing this Monday at Mahoning Valley in Youngstown, Ohio. And I told you at the top of the show, this kind of kicks off horse racing's version of Feast Week throughout Thanksgiving week, where you have stakes races at various racetracks throughout the week, and Mahoning Valley hosting a pair of stakes races on Monday, including the Steel Valley Sprint Stakes, which is a purse of $200,000. It's a field of 10 3-year-olds set to go to the post, including Petrov, who you just heard Kurt Becker with the call coming out of the break, winning an allowance race at Keeneland on October 18th, and a horse that is 5-2 on the morning line. And we're joined now by Ed Vomacka, who is the racing secretary at Mahoning Valley. And Ed, first of all, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be talking this early in the morning.
Yeah, thanks for getting up early with us.
I'm at work, so it's not bad. It's not like I got out of bed to do this.
Well, good man. Well, listen.
I thought that Petrov, I thought that was just like your hold music. I said, how's that that you have to have our horse in there?
No, that was just for you.
Right, thank you.
Well, look, Petrov's going to be ridden by Jose Ortiz. He's trained by Ron Moquette. And when you start attracting names like Jose Ortiz and Moquette and Wayne Catalano, who has Uncontested in there, you start getting those kind of names, you're doing something right. So congratulations.
Right. Well, when you put the money up, they tend to come. And it's a combination actually with all the Penn Gaming management team on the racing side. When we got the stakes money, we decided to make some one signature event, and we decided to make it our dates are November to April, so it's kind of hard in this part of the country to do anything December, January, February, or March. Really, you're a little too dependent on the weather. So we decided, it's far enough from the Breeders' Cup, some years where you could actually get horses that might have missed the Breeders' Cup, and it's right before Thanksgiving. We chose a Monday so that you can get the top riders, and they're not riding somewhere else necessarily, or don't have as big a commitment somewhere else. So it really the timing of it is what really helps us there.
Yeah, that's a genius move. I think a lot of smaller tracks should take advantage of the time that riders and some trainers have a day off here or there, and this is a very nice field. It's deep and an interesting handicapping race.
Right, we get a few Kentucky guys, a few New York guys, and then we get a lot of the Midwest guys that have run around. We even have a few from Canada in there, so it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, and hosting this on a Monday too, you're kind of getting all of the shelf space you could possibly get in the simulcast world too, right?
Right, right. I remember going back to when I was in Atlantic City a few years there. We would run the Matchmaker in the United Nations on a Wednesday night, because not only do you get the same response that you can get riders and trainers not doing other things, but you also get the headlines in the racing form because there's not much going on that day. So that helps too. And nowadays, of course, with the simulcast market, that's what our basic racing format is. We run Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And the Monday and Tuesday days are by far our best simulcast days. And Wednesdays holds its own too. But Mondays and Tuesdays are usually our best, because usually there's only one or two other major tracks out there. So we get a good share of that market.
Yeah, Ed, for people that have never been to Mahoning Valley and aren't familiar with the racing there, kind of give us an overview of what people can expect when they either watch it on simulcast or they come out to the races.
Well, one of the unusual things here is the size of the property and where they put the racetrack. Our 6-furlong chute is right up against the edge of the property, so we do not have, if you look up at our run-up distances, we basically have, we start basically at the 3/4 pole, where most tracks have 20, 30, 40 feet even, a run-up to the pole. So a lot of our times look a little bit slower simply because we're starting from a dead stop right at the 3/4 pole, and a lot of people don't realize that. But it's a nice little facility. It was built, our first season was in 2014, and they built it, right size for this time of racing and this area. So the local response is tremendous. The people up here do enjoy it, and they do come out pretty well. I remember my first year going out over to the grandstand in February, and it was about 5 or 10 degrees out, and I don't know if it was snowing or not, but I figured, oh, there's going to be nobody here today. And I go over there, and the place was packed. And somebody said to me, he goes, these people live here their entire lives. This is normal February weather, and they want to do, they have a chance to do something outdoors, they're going to come. They say indoors, but they can watch something outdoors at least,
Yep. Yeah, it's a big feature. Our colleague and friend Ed DeRosa, he's one of your biggest boosters. He's always putting out picks for Mahoning Valley and encouraging people to gamble there. Do you have other people around the country that have taken up the Mahoning Valley fandom?
I don't know specifically, but I know we've talked to different people at different times over our thing, over what we offer, and it's we fill a niche. And one of the big things, of course, that every gambler everywhere likes is field size. And Prescott Downs closed, Mountaineer's getting ready to close, Thistledown closed. So we have a pretty good horse population to draw from. The response to my stall applications is overwhelming, and I really feel bad because there's guys that I'm shutting out that I really wouldn't mind having here, but. It's just supply and demand, and I only give out rarely more than 30, 35 stalls to anyone, and it's tough getting everybody in here that we need, But like I say, we still draw a lot from Lexington and from the training centers down there, so it's very good. And we still get guys, even at this time of year, Finger Lakes is getting ready to close. I'll get some guys from there, and we do occasionally draw some people from Maryland or Pennsylvania. Even at this time of year, it's an interesting mix. And I think that's also one thing, too, is that we get a combination of, you know, a lot of tracks that run year-round. You see the same horses every week, the same people every week, and it gets, you know, a little staid, and, you know, the races don't feel as well. But with us, we, you know, we always, at the beginning of the meet, we have quite a different mix of different tracks coming. And even as we go on in the season, you know, we get a lot of guys from different spots, Penn National, Charlestown, like I said, the Maryland tracks, where we often get a shipper or two a week from there. So it's always an interesting challenge when you get that kind of mix.
Ed Vomacka is the racing secretary at Mahoning Valley. He's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Ed, I'm glad you brought up field sizes, because that's exactly where I was going to go next. You look at the field sizes in the two stakes on Monday afternoon. You have 10 horses in the Steel Valley Sprint. You have 12 horses in the Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Distaff. Take us inside some of those fields. Let's start with the Steel Valley Sprint, and tell me about some of the horses that we're going to see compete in that race, and how you were able to get them for this particular spot.
Okay. Well, it's basically just contacting everybody that, you know, we draw off of most of the three-year-old sprints going back to Saratoga and the Parks with their Gallant Bob, which is a little bit close to ours, and some of the Keeneland races. And you just go off their nomination lists and see who's interested. And, you know, they some of them already know about our race. Some of these trainers have been with us before. Jason Service has got a horse in their Lasting Legacy, who's never won a stake, but he's 2-for-2 lifetime, broke his maiden at Monmouth and won a allowance race at Belmont, and he's raced with us before, so he's going to take a shot with that. And that's one of the things, too. It's a chance to get black type for some of the horses that have been knocking some heads all winter, or that have gone through their allowance conditions and are looking to see where they fit in the greater scheme of things. You know, it's very popular, and, you know, we get the word out as well as we can and draw pretty much, you know, mostly from the Midwest, but, you know, we do contact some national guys and see what they like. I was told by Toba that, you know, we're black type now and we're in line to possibly become listed soon with the Steel Valley Sprint, which would certainly help also. The more you get for the breeding value of the winner, the better interest is in your races.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, I mean, you see a lot of almost household names. You mentioned Lasting Legacy, who's on a roll, well-labeled, a talented horse from Larry Ravelli. Petrov, of course, and Uncontested, who's, you know, another horse that's competed on the national stage. So it's a pretty deep field for a Monday afternoon at Mahoning Valley.
Right.
Yeah, it is a deep
field. Also, if you look at the other race, the Mahoning Distaff, in there, Ron Moquette also has a filly in there, and then we have a few others in there. That one of the interesting ones to me was Crab Cakes from Bernie Houghton. He's coming from Maryland. He just won the Maryland Million Distaff, and then also Ian Hardy has a horse in there for the Godolphin. When you start seeing owners like that running there, you know, you're getting some notice.
Yeah, no, very much so. And, again, those races taking place on Monday at Mahoning Valley. You want to make sure that if you can't be there, that you're definitely watching and wagering on those races from wherever you may be, because they are great betting races. We mentioned the full fields. Really, Ed, quite honestly, when I look at the morning line odds, you know, you're talking about 10 horses with a 5-2 morning line favorite in the Steel Valley Sprint, and then you're talking about 12 horses with a 2-1 morning line favorite in the Mahoning Distaff. Those kind of had the look of a Breeders' Cup type of betting race, which is what people love.
Right. Well, again, you know, just like the Breeders' Cup, we're drawing horses from so many different circuits that you got to kind of weigh what they've been running, where they've been running. We have some horses that have, you know, outstanding form, but they may not have been running against the toughest competition. And this is their chance to see where they measure up against some horses that have been running nationally. It's an interesting mix. You know, and there's also, we have horses that have been running at this track pretty steady, so they have a little bit of advantage over. They know the surface a little bit better. Our surface tends to be a little bit deeper than most, and that's mainly because of the winter racing that we face, that we like to keep a surface on there so that if the snow comes, when we take the snow off, you know, obviously you're going to take some surface with it. And with the weather, you know, you're sealing it a lot and everything else. So we start off the year with a pretty good cushion there. And, you know, we work to keep it in good shape. And the maintenance crew here does a tremendous job doing that. So, and I looked at the weather for the weekend. Actually, today and tomorrow, it's going to be rainy and even a chance of snow. But Monday, it's going to be chilly, but it's going to be sunny. So that'll be great. It's supposed to be in the 40s.
Yeah.
So that's the best we can hope for, I guess, in late November.
It should be a great day at Mahoning Valley in Youngstown, Ohio. Ed, really appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we'll get that out to you. And all the best on Monday, and keep it rolling at Mahoning Valley.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Ed Vomacka, racing secretary. And yeah, you look at those fields, and I mentioned it, 10 horses in the Steel City Sprint, 12 horses in the Mahoning Distaff. Great betting opportunities.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to handicap those races and see. They probably have a double going back to back too. Your man Edgar Pokar has a mount in
each
race.
I know.
So
going
he's
back
one of
to the
local
Northampton Fair, I knew him when.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, a really good rider too. So that should be a lot of fun to watch, and we'll see what materializes in those two outstanding stakes races coming up on Monday at Mahoning Valley. All right, we're going to get to a break. Still to come, we're going to talk with Eric Johnston, who is the director of racing operations at Penn National. We're going to talk with Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park. They have huge stakes races coming up on Wednesday afternoon, which you're going to hear with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage coming your way Wednesday. You can visit horseracingradio.net. It'll air on Sirius 219, XM 206, and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. We're back with more right after this on the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Hollywood Gaming at Mahoning Valley Racecourse offers live racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays at 12:45 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:15 p.m. With three pick threes, one pick four, the Buckeye pick six, and the high five, along with 10-cent superfectas in every race. Join us for our premier day of racing, Monday, November 20th, with the $200,000 Still Valley Sprint and the Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Distaff. For more information, visit HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great Sire of Sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most grade one winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera. Plus, catch two-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch. Loose on the Town grabs the lead. Weekend Hideaway comes up the fence. Don't Walk and Dude closes on the outside. Final furlong. Loose on the Town. Here's Stall Walk and Dude on the outside. The two of them hook up at the 16th pole. Stall Walk and Dude. Loose on the Town digs in. Stall Walk and Dude. Loose on the Town come down to the wire. Stall Walk and Dude and Joe Bravo do it in the tail of the cat. Loose on the Town was second. Weekend Hideaway was third. Camden Desire fourth in 109.75.
Larry Colmus with the call. That was the Tale of the Cat Stakes at Saratoga on August 26th. Check that. August 11th was when that particular race took place. And Stall Walking Dude getting the victory that afternoon. He's back on Wednesday as one of the horses to beat in the Fabulous Strike Stakes at Penn National. Again, that coverage coming your way here on HRRN. Anthony Stabile will have the coverage for you of all the races, the stakes races from Penn National and from Zia Park on Wednesday. And we told you, if you're just joining us, Zia Park has a couple of big ones too, including the Zia Park Oaks and the Zia Park Derby. And you'll hear both of those with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can get more information by going to horseracingradio.net. Stall Walking Dude, you have to love that horse, JT. He started it when he starts in the Fabulous Strike on Wednesday. It'll be his 59th career start. He's a 7-year-old gelding. He's won 19 of 58, and he always seems to be right there.
Yeah, he's a really hard-knocking horse, and he's been in super form this year. Just really run some magnificent races, so it'll be fun to watch him run on Wednesday night, and what a card that is. One thing I like about the races at Penn National is when they have these big nights, they run them top-heavy. They're in the first four or five races, and so it's good. You don't have to devote your entire evening to it, but you can have some fun during dinner, watch the races, and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I like the way they schedule them early. As a matter of fact, the Fabulous Strike will be the final stakes race on Wednesday night, and that one is set for 7:27 Eastern, so it gives you kind of an idea. The first one is the Blue Mountain Juvenile, which will go at 6:32. So in the span of an hour, you're going to get the Blue Mountain Juvenile. You're also going to get the Swatera Stakes, and then, of course, that Fabulous Strike. And the Swatera is also a really good race, so a lot of things to look forward to over the course of the next few days. I build it at the top of the show as Feast Week, much like they do in college basketball and college football throughout the Thanksgiving holiday, and that's what we get in thoroughbred racing too, with all the great racing action around the country.
It's interesting too, the first race, the first leg of the pick four is an allowance race, so it's nice they didn't stick you with some non-winners at two for 8,000 or something. Yeah. There's all the races are handicappable and interesting. So it's a good pick four.
We will talk to Eric Johnston, who is the director of racing operations at Penn National, coming up in just a few minutes. He'll join us shortly after 9 o'clock as we segue into the second hour of the program. Also going to be joined in hour number two by Dustin and David Vest. Now, David is the owner of Vest Fabrications. His son, Dustin, has worked by his side for the past few years. They do an awful lot of work with the horse farms here in central Kentucky, providing farm gates and some of the beautiful gates that you see when you pull up. That's Vest Fabrications work, and we'll talk to them coming up here in just a little bit. And then Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park, will tell us about their big afternoon coming up on Wednesday too. Jude, we're a couple of weeks away, as a matter of fact, just 2 weeks away from our trip to Gulfstream Park in the beginning of the Gulfstream Championship meet. And That's also the day that they will host the $1.1 million claiming crown, and we'll have coverage of that again this year. We've done it the past several years, and it's always fun to be at Gulfstream Park for the beginning of a championship meet, which is always so ridiculously good.
Yeah, it's a real nice way to kick it off. And Claiming Crown Day at Gulfstream Park has really become a thing. Opening day, of course, so that's everybody's excited to get the meet kicked off. But such action and entertainment, and people really get into the races. They're surrounding our location and screaming and yelling and making our job more difficult. But I love to see that. I mean, I love the enthusiasm of the crowd there for these hard knocking horses that we see all year and appreciate for what they do. And it's a great day of racing. It's really one of the most enjoyable days of racing of the year, because you don't have the uptightness of, you know, like the Breeders' Cup or the Derby, where everybody's, been a nervous wreck for weeks at a time. It's more relaxed, but it's still really good racing. You see some very good horses. The last few years, we've had horses that competed in the Breeders' Cup that are still eligible for Claiming Crown races. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you can go to claimingcrown.com to learn more. But the 19th running takes place Saturday, December 2nd. It's an event that was created back in 99 by the National HBPA in Toba. And this year's event, how about this? Nominations came out this past week. It attracted 294 nominations. So we can't wait to get there. We'll be there Saturday, December 2nd. Make sure you join us here on the network for that exclusive coverage. And you can tune in on our website and on affiliates across the country. And, of course, you can do that on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, too. So check our site for that information. And be sure to follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll come back and get you ready for the second half of the show. That's next, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And Elate has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. Elate dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, getting ready to visit with Eric Johnston, who is the Director of Racing Operations at Penn National. We'll talk to Eric here in just a moment or two about their big program coming up on Wednesday. And we've told you throughout the program here this morning that it's a huge, huge week of thoroughbred racing that kicks off on Monday at Mahoning Valley with the Steel Valley Sprint and the Mahoning Distaff. You want to make sure that you take a look at those races coming up on Monday afternoon. Fun first half of the program. Had a chance to visit with Buff Bradley talking about the player. And if you missed that interview, you want to go back to our website and check that out afterwards on the podcast, because Buff told you some interesting things about the player that maybe you didn't know. He's a horse with an awful lot of personality and a few quirks. Kind of fun when you hear about horses like this. And Buff told us all about it in the first half of the show. Ed Vomacco is with us as well. He's the racing secretary at Mahoning Valley. Had a chance to visit with him and talk about those big races coming up Monday.
Yes.
We did.
We started out. We started out with
a weird throw. Monday.
Now we're going to Wednesday. What are we going to do on Tuesday?
Nothing on Tuesday.
Nothing on Tuesday. Wow, that's going to be a boring day.
Yeah, nothing on Tuesday. Thursday, of course, Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that's it. We can clean the toilets for our guests on Thanksgiving on Tuesday.
You can handle that part of it. Knock yourself out. I'll throw in a load of laundry or something. Okay. You can handle that part
okay.
of it.
Okay. All right. I'm up for it. It doesn't bother me.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we are edging closer to that big day on Wednesday at Penn National and, again, at Zia Park, too, and all that coverage coming your way here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So make sure you join us to hear all that outstanding racing action. Joined now by Eric Johnston, who is the Director of Racing Operations at Penn National. A popular guest on this show. He's been doing this a long time, and happy to have him back on board this morning. Eric, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, sir. To be honest with you, I first got dialed in there. I was a little concerned talking about cleaning toilets and laundry, and I don't know if I had the Susie Homemaker show or what exactly was going on there.
We're multi-talented over here. We can do a lot of things.
Cool. Well, I'll have to invite you down to my place sometime.
There you go.
Yeah, we promise we're not going to make you do any of that, my friend.
All right, good. What's going on this morning?
Well, let's talk about some racing. You tell me what's going on. It's a huge day coming up Wednesday at Penn National.
It is a great day. The Holiday Racing Festival, you know, it's our second biggest day of the year right behind Penn Mile Day. Very excited. We got the $200,000 Fabulous Strike. We have the $100,000 Swaterra and $100,000 Blue Mountain Juvenile Fillies for Pennsylvania-bred filly two-year-olds. They all come in as part of the early pick four. There are races 2, 3, and 4 anchored by the Fabulous Strike. Just a great day of racing. First post time is 6:00 on Wednesday.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the end of the first hour of the show here, Eric. We love the way that you have done this, the way that you structure these stakes races early in the program. And I think you've told me before, there's a very good reason for that, isn't there?
There's absolutely a good reason for it. It's an opportunity to get the simulcast signal out across all markets. You know, we get into California with these races every year, so we really appreciate their support out there. And it meets at a great time on the East Coast, so it works for everybody involved.
Yeah, and it's great. You don't you have to stay awake till the 11th hour to watch a race that you want to watch. It's you get them all during dinner here on the East Coast, what a fun way to spend a little time, you know, watching these good horses run and maybe make some money.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you have to, you get in, you can watch them, you can sit at home and play them on YouBet or any of the other ADW sites, and without interrupting your Thanksgiving plans, and, you know, get your turkey cooking in the meantime. So just dial in on, listen on your radio station or on TVG and have a good Wednesday evening.
Yeah, Eric, you have to be thrilled with the way that these races came together, too. I mean, you talk about contentious fields and good betting races. You have it with all three of those stakes.
Absolutely. The 10-horse field and the Pennsylvania Breds, you know, is a nice bunch of horses, and the other two are just very solid. You know, we've been knocking on the door for graded company with both of these races for the last several years. I think the Fabulous Strike, you know, you got four out of the eight starters in there, have graded earnings on them in this year, so it should be real close. Hopefully we'll pick up a grade three with these races, and then we can just proceed forward.
Yeah, we're still beating the drum for the Penn Mile to be a grade one, by the way.
I appreciate that. You know, that's ultra-tough territory to break into. I mean, grade two in 3 years was very satisfying for us, but that grade one, man, that's just so tough. I mean, look at some of the cards that Parks had to put out with the Pennsylvania Derby before they finally got their grade one status. That graded stakes committee, they're really tough one, especially in the three-year-old categories. They're very difficult.
Well, your race is just such a good race, and at a fantastic time of year at a beautiful racetrack. Yeah, there's plenty of reasons to make it a grade one, and you see the horses that have run in it and come out of it and won a bunch more races. It's a great race. It's one of my favorites.
Absolutely. And Beach Patrol, he just the gift that keeps on giving. He comes back every year. Hopefully we'll see him in 2018 turf season as it rolls up at Gulfstream. And it's been a lot of fun being part of these kind of races. So we're very blessed to be there.
We need some handicapping help in the Blue Mountain Juvenile, though. You have your finger on the pulse of the Pennsylvania Breds. Who you liking in that race?
Well, Bronx Beauty, obviously, the winner of the Colleen over at Monmouth Park is probably going to be the favorite in there. But I think this race is really wide open. You start looking at speed figures and all that fun stuff, and you look at Bernie Houghton's Indian Beauty, wins by 6 lengths in her first opportunity in open company, not just in Pennsylvania bred company. I think she's going to have to get to a lot of consideration. Not sure what the Lasix for the first time is going to do for her, but it should be an interesting race. I really think if you're going to think about the pick four, you got to go really deep in here.
Eric, how about the other two stakes, the Swaterra and then the Fabulous Strike? How'd you see those races?
Well, the Swaterra is definitely, you know, I think it's going to be the Tommy Macho show. I'm not saying that he's the only horse in the race, but he's certainly keeping the best company in his last, you know, off season long. He's coming off off the fourth place finish in the Grade Two Kelso, and he didn't do as well in the Forego, but he does have a Grade Three win earlier in the year. But he's been bouncing in that graded company, and it's awfully tough division every year. The other one in there is the Fear the Cowboy. I mean, here's an interesting horse. This horse has been all over the country this year. This will be the ninth jurisdiction that he started in, or eighth jurisdiction that he started in nine starts. So, and he's not ducking anybody. He's going in there for graded company and having a real successful year. So I think he's going to be tough. And then you got the Charlestown Wizard, Charitable Annuity. I think Charitable Annuity can certainly jump up. You know, he has the race of his day, and then he's going to be in contention with the bunch.
The Charlestown Wizard. I like that.
Yeah,
if I could say it, it would be even better.
But fly if you couldn't tell.
Well, that's a great race, and that's followed by the Fabulous Strike, which I mentioned the name Stallwalking Dude. We heard that race clip coming out of the commercial break in the first half of the show. He is such a hard-knocking horse. He makes his 59th lifetime start in the Fabulous Strike on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Seven-year-old gelding got $1.5 million worth of earnings. And, again, here's another horse that stays in the graded company and is right there. It's very competitive every start. So he's definitely, especially being hooked up with Chief Lion, they're definitely going to be the favorite. Irad Ortiz coming in to ride. He'll definitely be the one to consider. And Blue Moon Aso is another one. He won that Maryland Million race, the Maryland Million Sprint Handicap, by 2¾ with Julian Pimentel up. Another great opportunity here. Yeah, I think the outlier in the Fabulous Strike is going to be Favorite Tale. And here's a horse that's had three races back since winning this race in 2015. You know, he ran a really respectable race in the Breeders' Cup that year, came in, won the Fabulous Strike, and has been very lightly trained and looks like he might be getting ready for a big return effort here. So certainly has the talent, or had the talent at one time. Just a matter of what happened over those last 2 years, and we'll certainly be watching as Paco Lopez gets up there.
Talking with Eric Johnston, who is the director of racing operations at Penn National here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eric, what does we talk about this when we come up and broadcast the Penn Mile every year, but what does a day like this at this time of year and a card like this mean to racing, not just at Penn National, but in the state of Pennsylvania?
Well, it's, you know, after the Pennsylvania Derby in September, everybody kind of loses focus on Pennsylvania. So this is an opportunity for Pennsylvania and Penn National, more particularly, to stay in the spotlight out there and to keep everybody's attention as we go into the winter month. We have, you know, 4-day-a-week racing all winter long. And if you don't have event days like this in the Penn Mile, I think you just get lost on that radar of thousands of tracks out there, or thousands of races offered every evening or every day, and you just become another one. So this actually makes you stand out from the crowd a little bit. People remember watching these kind of races. They know that you're putting on a competitive program, so that they're going to pay a little more attention and watch the cards through the simulcast, through the winter, and just keep betting on the program up here.
Eric, we have several people listening now that I know have never had the chance to attend a race at Penn National. And Jude and I, it's one of our favorite stops every year. You know, you got the casino, which is a first-class casino, and then you've never lost sight of the horse racing side of things, though. People can enjoy the casino. They can walk straight out through the casino, and bam, they're looking right at the racetrack, and they're standing on the apron, and they can easily bet races. It's just one of those experiences that if you're a horse racing fan and you like casino gaming, you might as well make a trip to Penn National, because it's one of the great settings in thoroughbred racing.
It is. You know, if the weather's a little crappy on Wednesday night, which it's not supposed to be, it's supposed to be sunny all week. It's going to be a little cool. I think we got a high of like 54 on Wednesday. So if you're a little concerned about the weather, you can sit in their dining room, which overlooks the racetrack, overlooks the mountain. Like I told you guys before, it's like Santa Anita without the fog, as you have the mountain in the background there. So it's a very scenic setting. It's very rural. It's a great place to be, easy in and out, right off of the interstate. So anybody that's heading up and down I-81 in the central Pennsylvania area, stop by Wednesday night. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility. It's the barn area is pristine. Everybody that we come in contact with, you know, we tell them, you know, Penn National's a great place, and it's great during the summer. I'm sure it's great during the winter as well, and looking forward to those races coming up Wednesday.
I got to give a lot of credit to our track guys. I mean, they do a heck of a job back there keeping that surface open all winter long. You know, a lot of nights those tractors are going 24/7 as we get into the heart of the winter, and it gets a little fast at times, but it's always a safe course. So, you know, hats off to them. They do a fantastic job for us.
Eric Johnston, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Eric, just let the dealer at the craps table know I'm coming for a rematch next year or so. They won't get me next year.
I'll save you a spot. That's a high roller table, right?
Yeah. No, let's dial it down a notch after last year. Appreciate it, my friend.
Right,
thanks,
gentlemen,
for being here.
I appreciate you all taking our signal, and we look forward to hearing from you. And stay in touch.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric.
Thank you. You too.
All right, Eric Johnston. Yeah, and we, you know, when we talk about how great that setting is for thoroughbred racing and what a great job they do at Penn National, we're not just saying that. It is absolutely spectacular.
No, it's a really,
really cool,
good place to go. And, you know, Penn National didn't used to be like this. It was kind of a ramshackle place, and a lot of people still have that in their mind. And I like to, you know, clear the air for them and let them know that,
yep,
it's really a nice place to go and visit. And if you like to, you know, shoot craps or play slot machines, that there's that for
and
you.
The food is very good.
In the clubhouse, yep, area, the tables and stuff that he mentioned, just fantastic. It's a really first class operation.
Same at Charlestown too.
Yeah,
when we go to Charlestown for the Charlestown Classic every year. They just do a tremendous job, and the Penn Gaming racetracks are really on a roll. So make sure you check that out on Wednesday, and of course we'll have that exclusive coverage of all the racing from Penn National and Zia Park right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to learn more about that coverage on Wednesday. Speaking of Zia, we're going to be joined by Matt Crawford around 9:40 Eastern this morning. Matt is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park. We'll enjoy that visit. And when we come back, we're going to talk with David Vest and his son, Dustin, who are, well, it's the team at Vest Fabrication, and they do an awful lot of work with many of the horse farms here, and they do a great job. We'll tell you all about that after our next commercial break. But before we get to that point, it's time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Windstar and Grayson unveil Giving Tuesday Challenge. Yeah, this is pretty cool. The Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation and Windstar Farm announced November 13th that Windstar will be the official sponsor of the Windstar Grayson Giving Tuesday Challenge to be held on November 28th. Now, as part of the sponsorship, Windstar will offer 100 tickets to Windstar Fan Appreciation Day. That's all available to the public to meet Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, leading second crop sire Bodie Meister, and triple crown sire Pioneer of the Nile. That all takes place that day at the Farm Stallion Complex near Versailles, Kentucky. Fans will also have the option to sign up for one of 2 hour-long time slots from 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Each time slot will be limited to just 50 guests. With each ticket purchase, fans will be entered for a chance to win a Windstar gift bag and stallion halter, and attendees will have the chance to win a halter worn by Always Dreaming or Bodie Meister. For more information, here's what you have to do. You go to windstarfarm.com/tickets. Well, and that is your Blood Horse news update. Don't forget the Blood Horse magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years, and it's the industry's only weekly magazine. If you want to follow the sport and the industry, there's no better way than with Blood Horse magazine. And how about this? Here's a cool offer for the holidays. Get a year of Blood Horse magazine and tablet for only $79 and get a 2018 Blood Horse wall calendar for free. You go to bloodhorse.com/winter special. We'll get to this break. We'll come back and visit with David and Dustin Vest. That's next here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Attention horsemen, the 2017 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 2nd through the 9th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses of nearly $219,000 this year. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2019, regardless of what state they're foaled in, are eligible to nominate. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
We've watched him develop into a racehorse.
Into mischief wins the cup, call futility.
Into a sire.
Golden Sensei, scintillating performance.
It is practical joke in the Allen Jerkins.
Into a leader. The leading 2-year-old and 3-year-old sire of 2017. Into mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
16th of a mile left to go, and it is Burned, home by 5 at the finish.
Burned, the 3-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini, won the 7-furlong safely kept stakes at Laurel last Saturday by 4.5 lengths, earning a 92 buyer speed figure. She becomes the 9th stakes winner for Bernardini this year. And that performance makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and Sales Ring Smash. Bernardini is represented by 14 Grade 1 winners so far, including multiple Grade 1 winners cavorting Alpha, Stay Thirsty, and To Honor and Serve. His latest star is 2017 Grade 1 Vosburgh hero Tekafel, and only Tappet can top Bernardini's 7 Grade 1 winners on dirt since 2013. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions at DarleyAmerica.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Concealed with a Kiss, who goes on with it to take the lead. Back to second is Too Clever by Half. Off cover, Eskin Lady is rallying home. Arella Princess, grandstand side. Tormented to Oro saves ground and comes on next. Three quarters, 1:11 and 3. There's less than an 1/8 of a mile to go. Concealed with a Kiss, trying to seal the deal. The stretch runners are coming, including Tormented to Oro, who's a huge price and coming on. Eskin Lady on the outside. Eskin Lady, Tormented to Oro. Arella Princess over the top. It's Tormented to Oro. Tormented to Oro and Luca Panici spring the upset at 40-1 in 138-2.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Pena, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and Pete Aiello with the call of last year's claiming crown glass slipper, Tormented de Oro, pulling off a huge upset that day, and one of four horses nominated to the claiming crown this year, scheduled to come back and defend their title. We'll see if a Tormenta de Oro can pull it off, and we'll be there to bring you that exclusive radio coverage of the Claiming Crown on Gulfstream Park's opening day of the championship meet. That comes your way just 2 weeks from today on Saturday, December 2nd. And Jude, as we always say, no better place to be in the wintertime than Gulfstream Park.
No, absolutely. I cannot wait to get there.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. All right, going to be a lot of fun to visit with our next special guest, too, who were kind enough to stop by our Lexington, Kentucky studios here. That is David Vest, the owner of Vest Fabrication, and his son, Dustin. And they work together, working with many of the horse farms around the area and with many of the farms in general. It doesn't even have to be a horse farm. They do an awful lot of great work. And, guys, good morning. David, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, well, there we go. We got your mic working again, so we'll try it again. Good morning.
All right, thank you,
there
sir.
We go. Yeah, yeah, you got to love live radio. Dustin, good morning, bud.
Morning.
Hey, and Wendell, Dustin, you're fresh off of a trip to the Breeders' Cup, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
How was that?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I had a good time down there.
How'd you like Del Mar?
I will definitely be back. Del Mar was a good time.
Del Mar appreciates that.
Well, you're a big horse racing guy anyways, right?
Yes, sir, I am. I started handicapping probably, well, as soon as I turned 18, I stayed at the track a lot with my girlfriend's grandpa. He actually recently passed away, Coach Wilson. A lot of people know him around here. So,
yeah,
he's a big horse guy. He's well-respected around the track.
Yeah, well, he's taught you well because now you're into it.
Yep, yep.
It's funny, this game, right, when it gets into your skin, you're hooked.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. What do you like most about it? What really got you hooked on it?
Well, to be honest with you, I could put the gambling aside. Honestly, I just love the game. One of my goals is to visit from track to track, like Del Mar. It was kind of on my bucket list, so I told my girlfriend, I was like, I can't miss the opportunity. I don't know. You know, I might not get the opportunity to go back to Breeders' Cup, especially at Del Mar. So we'll take it while we can.
Did you pick any winners?
I had Rushing Fall and Best Performance Exacta. I had an $18 Exacta.
Oh, nice.
So I had a good score. Pay for my gambling anyway.
That's it. That's all you can ask for. And early on, too.
It's yep. Like,
yep. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, now you get to work alongside your dad.
Yes,
and
sir.
You've been working together, what, 3 years, David? Is that right?
Yeah, 3 years going on four. Yes, sir.
Okay. And Vest Fabrication, take me through a little bit of the history of the company. When did you start it and how'd the idea come about? And take me through.
We were established in 2002. Actually, how we got started, I'm farm background, so knew a lot of farmers, need a lot of repairs and stuff. So I started just a mobile site. You know, we do the mobile welding on site. And then after that, we start a shop. And then it just kind of grew from there. It grew from just me and one truck. Now we've got 20 employees, 5 service trucks fully equipped. And, you know, it's just been an ongoing growing process. So, I mean, it's been good to us.
Yeah. And how about some of the services that y'all provide?
We provide a lot of on-site, which I just mentioned.
Yep.
We provide a lot of shop fabrication, gotcha. A lot of custom stuff. We do a lot of custom. We MIG, TIG, stick. We pretty much do it all. You know, our forte is welding and fabrication. You know, so that's just.
So if a farm has a door, let's say a slide, one of those big sliding doors with a wood and stuff, and some horses racked it up pretty good, they call you guys and you take care of that. You fix it up. You may have to redo it, whatever
yes,
it is, but
yeah.
that's what you do.
Yes, sir. That's what we do. We also build a lot of new stuff. The new vocations, which is like a retired racehorse farm over in Lexington, we done a lot of the steel work for them and stuff like that. So we do a lot of major farms. We do a lot of paddock gates, entrance gates, on-site repair.
Those entrance gates, they can be a real pain. Having run a few farms in Kentucky and one in California, I can tell you that they're no fun sometimes, those things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And somebody will hit into them, and then they get bent, and then they don't work at all. And
yeah.
So I'm sure
I'm
not telling
us,
you.
Though.
That's good for you, yeah.
That's good
yeah.
for us, though. Yeah. But yeah, that's you know that's kind of how we got started. We you know we service all aspects. But we're kind of ag rooted, you know.
Yep.
We love the ag, whether it's equine, you know, whatever it is. That's what we're part of.
Yeah, and you can get more information, by the way, by going to vestfab.com. That's their website. You can see some pictures of the work. You can get descriptions of all the services they provide. It's V-E-S-T-F-A-B, as in boy, .com, vestfab.com. So working alongside your son, that has to be pretty special too.
Some days he doesn't like me very well, to be honest. But people that know me know how I am, and he knows. You know, we just strive to be better, give good service. I've taught that in both my boys. You know, both my guys, my boys work for me, Dustin and my other son, Brandon. They're our salesmen, so if anybody out there needs anything, you can contact them. But, yeah, it's some days it's better than others. You know how it is working next with your family, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I worked with my dad for a long time. Yeah. I know.
Well, a good thing about it is, like you said, I know him a little better than what some of the other employees might. So whenever he's, you know, giving the other guys down the road, I can come to him and be like, hey, man, you know, this is what he's actually trying to say, even though it may sound like this.
You know? Well, you know, Ben Franklin said fish and family smell after 3 days, you know, but you guys have lasted 3 years, so you're pretty good. What about, like, custom gates for pastures and stuff? Because eventually, you know, something breaks at the farm and you need it exactly this size. Can you guys do that too?
We do that every day.
Yes, sir. We take a lot of calls to the site, and I'll go out there, say it'd be me and my brother, like he mentioned earlier. And what we'll do is we'll measure the opening, right? And we'll actually, a lot of you might have seen on the side, we do a lot of the steel mesh gates. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I hate to mention any names or anything, but as far as we do a lot of the paddock gates. That's what we like to call them. If you visit our website, you can see them on there. You go to our completed projects page, and you'll get a kind of a better idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's great work. That's Dustin Vest, his dad David. They are here in our studio here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, and they do some great work at Vest Fabrications and work with so many of the different horse farms here in the area. And not just horse farms, but if you have a cattle farm, they're your source. You can give them a call and they will take care of you. There's no doubt about it. When you think back, David, on getting started with this whole concept and this idea to see where it is today, sometimes you just have to shake your head and say, wow, did this really happen?
Blown away. I'm blessed. Truly blessed.
Yeah.
You know, it's, You gotta treat people like you want to be treated, and the horse industry has a lot of good people in it. And you take care of them, they'll take care of you. You know, that kind of thing.
They're very loyal.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people. I mean, you know, we thrive on being better at service and better at a better product at Vest Fabrication because of the people you're around, like you guys. You know. When you meet good people, you just click, you know, and then you just have to take care of, you know, we take care of them, they take care of us,
right.
You know, it's just it's more of a friendship than a business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, most of my clients are my friends and then they're my client. And that's just how we strive.
Yeah. It's a great way to run your business.
We just try to provide a top quality, man. That's my main goal. Everything that comes out of the shop, my eyes or his eyes one have been on it. I don't like to let anything out that I'm not confident in.
Now, wait a minute. When you do get a chance to work with some of the horse farms around here, and again, we won't mention any names in particular, but when you do get a chance to do that, how blessed are you that you get to go out there and be around all those horses?
A lot of the guys I'm talking to, I'm like, hey, so say is, you know, where's so-and-so stall at? They're like, we can take you right there, man. Don't even worry. Thank you.
Yeah, the American Pharoe deal, he come in when he got to see that horse up close.
And
he was ecstatic.
I was doing a little job off of Yarnleton, and I asked, I said, so where's Curlin's stall at? Like, we'll show it to you. Cool, man.
How cool is that? So appreciate a fan it. First and the business guy second.
Right. Hey, and it actually helps me relate a little bit better to the guys that, you know, are of this farm. Is they know that I support their industry, not just their, you know, their farm.
We support their industry.
Right. Right. But, like, you know, it helps out, though. They don't think I'm out there just to try to get a check. They know that I'm, you know, I'm a fan and I'm interested in what they do.
Yeah, it comes back to what we talked about earlier and developing those relationships and, you know, treating people the way that you want to be treated. And obviously, just from getting a chance to talk with you all here today on the program, you can tell that you're genuine. You love the sport. You love the industry, not just the horse industry, but the cattle industry and the farming industry.
Right.
And it's what you do. It's a passion.
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. All right, well, you can visit vestfab.com to learn more. Again, that's VESTFAB.com. And thank you guys for the wonderful hats that you brought to us, too. Some Vestfab certified welding caps like that. Thank you very much.
You're more welcome.
Yeah. Very cool. And thank you for all your support of what we do here on the network and anything we can do to help you here in the future moving forward. Please let us know.
We appreciate that. Thank you
all. Right.
Thank you.
And David and Dustin Vest, like all of our guests who appear on the program, are indeed going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. I know Dustin will be happy about that. you can visit EmbraceTheRace.com to embrace your passion and wear what you love. It's all there at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to another break. We'll come back and we'll turn our attention westward to Zia Park and their big afternoon coming up on Wednesday as we visit with Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera. Plus, catch two-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
Algorithms. This undefeated graded stakes winning son of Bernardini was the number two freshman sire by Black Tie Forces. This year, his top runners include the talented multiple stakes winner Recruiting Ready. With yearlings selling up to 29 times his stud fee, Algorithms rewarded breeders with the highest rated return of his crop. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Hollywood Gaming at Mahoning Valley Racecourse offers live racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays at 12:45 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:15 p.m. With three pick threes, one pick four, the Buckeye pick six, and the high five, along with 10-cent superfectas in every race. Join us for our premier day of racing, Monday, November 20th, with the $200,000 Still Valley Sprint and the Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Distaff. For more information, visit HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner and Eclipse champion Macho Uno is another Adina Stallion to have sired a Breeders' Cup winner. His son and fellow Adina Stallion, Mucho Macho Man, won the Breeders' Cup Classic, capping his career, which saw him win or place in 13 graded stakes at 7 tracks in 5 states, earning over $5.6 million. And Mucho Macho Man was a top 5 first crop yearling sire at Keeneland this September. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Six lengths front to back,
as they're in the final turn, and B-Squared trying to push. Gato de Oro with a quarter mile to go. Here comes Battle of Midway and Colonel's Dark Temper. 6 furlongs, 1 minute, 11.45, top of the stretch in the Derby. And Gato de Oro is on the lead. Battle of Midway now sets sights the challenge. Swinging out, here's Colonel's Dark Temper. Inside Untrapped, looking for room. And Untrapped now rolling at the furlong pole. Race on in the Oklahoma Derby. It's Battle of Midway on top. Untrapped, full of steam, going on. Untrapped, Battle of Midway. These two, and Untrapped has too much. Steve Aspies will win his first Derby. Untrapped on top by two.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, rolling on a very busy morning, and we're covering a lot of ground. And now head out to Hobbs, New Mexico, in Zia Park, where we are joined by Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia. And one horse that I know he's happy to have competing on Wednesday in the Zia Park Derby is Untrapped, the Oklahoma Derby winner, who was so impressive last time out, and he is part of a stellar afternoon of thoroughbred racing. Matt, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks, guys. Good morning to y'all.
Yeah, good morning, and looking forward to talking about this great day. And for the past several years, we've had the privilege of broadcasting the Zia Park races on our network here, and I got to tell you, when you look at the quality of the fields that you've been able to attract again this year, you have to be extremely pleased.
I'm very pleased. I wasn't here last year. This is my first actual meet here at Zia Park. I was hired on with Penn Gaming at Sam Houston in January. And so actually this is my first meet. I was noticing the fields last year were a little larger, but my quality, I'm very proud of. You know, sometimes, you know, when you talk about graded races, that, you don't have to have a full field of 12. You know, the smaller fields with the quality is what everybody looks for. And I'm really pleased with our quality this year.
Yeah, it can be a little bit of a different game when you're recruiting horses to run in New Mexico, can it?
Oh, yes. Yes, because, you know, we're not the best location in the world out here. And, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, some of the trainers that we're inquiring on nominations and trying to figure out transportation, what means. And it's a little difficult. You ship and van, and it's a little ways. You can fly into El Paso, and then it's about a three-hour van ride from there. And, you know, it's about 5-6 hours from Dallas-Fort Worth. So it's a it's a little difficult to get to us, but you know, the races that are offered are still, you know, intriguing for horsemen, though.
Well, the purses are good, and certainly Steve Asmussen didn't have any problem getting his horses to your track, huh?
No, Steve, me and him go way back, and he's been a pretty much you know, comes to Zia Park on a regular basis, but you know, it wasn't much for me to. When a couple horses that he had, and then he threw a couple more in and nominations, and he's loading up, that's for sure.
Yeah,
him and Robertino Diodoro from he's stabled at Turf Paradise now, and he's going to bring quite a few up too.
Yeah, and Steve brings a horse that last competed in the Breeders' Cup on November 3rd in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in Iron Fist, who is going to show up for the Zia Park Championship. That's pretty cool.
Yes, Iron Fist. We had him. He also won our Maxim Gold Cup at Sam Houston and, you know, went on and won at Remington. I believe it was the Governor's Cup, and then went out for the Breeders' Cup. Yes, and ran a decent race out there. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what made our field a little minimal when they knew that gray horse was coming. Jude will tell you, you know, it'll scare some of them off.
Yeah, well, you know, Iron Fist, I bet on him at the Breeders' Cup. I thought he was way too big a price, and I was excited to hear he was coming to your race, and then I saw the morning line 4-5. There's no way I can get my money back.
Yeah, you're right. You know, but Code West, he's up and coming, and he's a trier, and he came out in our prep race, the veterans, and won pretty convincingly. And so, you know, he's top of his game right now, and then Way Striking, you know, is no slouch himself. So it's, you know, it's not like he's going to run away with it. But you're right, 4-5. That's a little tough.
Yeah, he's a pretty good horse. That's a really nice little race. Very high quality race.
Yes.
Yeah. That Zia Park Championship handicap comes up at 4:54 Eastern time. That's 2:54 locally, Mountain Time, at Zia Park in Hobbs, New Mexico. And again, you're going to hear that race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Anthony Stabile will have all the coverage for you here on HRN on Wednesday afternoon. Matt, the Zia Park Derby is a really interesting race. It has a purse of $200,000, of course, for the three-year-olds, going a mile and a 16th, and it's race 9 on the program on Wednesday afternoon. And Untrapped for Steve Asmussen is going to take a lot of attention after winning that Oklahoma Derby. But what other horses in there should people keep an eye on?
Oh, Diodor's horse, Chief Know-It-All. He's, you know, won those two derbies in Canada. And, you know, when they claimed him for $100,000, he looks like a nice horse. And Robertino looks like he's got his training ways going and looks like a nice horse. Doug O'Neill. You never know about Doug's horses. You know, you see those horses break their maiden in California, and he'll go on and try a stake, and sometimes they'll just jump up and run big races. I was happened to be the race secretary at Delta when he won the Princess down there with a similar filly that, you know, just broke her maiden and come down. And so you never know about Doug O'Neill. He's pretty tough, and if he decides he's going to run in a stake, you gotta recognize him.
Yeah, and that horse Steely Resolve in the Zia Park Derby comes out of that maiden win. Of course, it was his only career start. How about this? He was an $875,000 yearling purchase, a son of Candy Ride. So this is a horse that obviously they've held in high regard for a very, very long time.
Yes, they have. Yes, and just started him in November. So as a late 3-year old starter, you know, he's probably got some high plans for him.
Well, Fence Line Neighbor, the dam of Steely Resolve, was a multiple stakes winner, very talented filly. So he's got the pedigree to be tough. You also have one from Godolphin. You're going to have the Godolphin Blue at Zia Park. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Mike was on the shelf about bringing the horse, and then so we were talking, and he decided to load him up and go. I was real happy to have him.
Yeah, that's the Mike Stedham-trained Cedar Town, who is going to break just the outside of Steely Resolve in that Zia Park Derby. And then the race following the Derby is the Zia Park Oaks for the 3-year-old fillies. And, Matt, I have to tell you, not the biggest field, only 7 horses, but really, really well-balanced and really contentious. Good job.
Yes, I think so. And Larry Jones, again, he's a competitor and travels all over the country. He'll load them up himself, bring them in. And he usually gallops the day before, and he's got plans to do that with Proud and Fearless. And she is a really nice filly, got a real nice form on her. And then, of course, Steve's ever so clever, you know, ran second to Champagne Room that won the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, those two. And then it rounds out the field. Sandy's Surprise for Doug O'Neill again. And we've got a couple locals here that are really tough. You know, it's, you know, they're going to be tested. But yeah, again, it's small field, but quality.
Talking with Matt Crawford, who is the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park, and looking at their big day coming up on Wednesday. Matt, talk about the placement of this day and how that benefits you, being the day before Thanksgiving.
Well, it's they've done it in the past with the Penn Gaming tracks, and Penn National coincides with us as one of their big days up there, and it works out pretty well as far as simulcast. You know, your export, and there's not a whole lot of tracks that have quality races that day, so we're kind of the premier between us and Penn. You know, the premier tracks for running quality races that day, and it works out pretty good.
Yeah, 9 stakes races on that Wednesday program at Zia Park. 3 of those are for quarter horses, and then 6 thoroughbred stakes. So you're going to be a busy man.
Oh, we'll be busy. Yes, we've got the horses are going to start hauling in Sunday, several of them Monday. So we'll be stabling them out and helping them with shavings and bedding and so forth, and making reservations for their help and everything coming in.
Yeah, it's a big undertaking when you have those big days and you got a lot of people coming in. It's not like you're just running 1 stakes on a Saturday. It's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Yes, yes. And you get we're just happy to you know, have the support and the quality of horses that are coming this way. It's really, really exciting.
Matt, any special wagers that folks can look forward to when they're playing the races on Wednesday at Zia?
No special wagers. We're our normal pick threes and pick fours, and the last race will be the high five. So it not anything, any kind of special stake-wise. We'll probably have the pick three for the quarter horse, but it's, you know, that simulcast output doesn't go to a lot of tracks. So, and then we start with our the only overnight race that we have is our fourth. It's a 2-year-old maiden special weight race, and then we'll start with the fourth leg of the pick four, and different things like that, and then we'll start with our regular stakes. We'll get going, but it's, to answer your question, no, we just our normal betting.
What's the normal racing schedule at Zia Park beyond what we're going to see here on Wednesday?
Normally we run Saturday is primarily quarter horse day. We run strictly a quarter horse card, and then Sunday it's usually half and half, and then Monday and Tuesday we run strictly thoroughbreds. So it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday racing, 12:10 post.
All right, so as for somebody that's never been to Zia Park like myself, describe what it's like, what the experience is like when people come.
Well, it's a smaller grandstand, kind of a tight quarters, which makes it kind of nice. We have next to our paddock is our simulcast outlet, and we have a casino behind, and it's kind of nice on when you get the people together. It's a short little apron, and the paddock's right there. The crowd can see the horses up close, and it's kind of desert like. we get some wind, I really compliment my track man Tony Martinez Jr. He keeps the track in good shape, and we've kept our catastrophics down quite a bit, so it's really applause to him.
Yeah, nicely done. Matt Crawford, the manager of racing operations, racing secretary at Zia Park, with us here on HRRN. Matt, like all the guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. What is it about this game that makes you embrace the race?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've been in the business a long time. As Jude knows, I was an old trainer back in the 80s, I was a Rio Doce in the late 70s, it's just been my life for many a year. And, you can't get away from it. You know, you guys know it's just our livelihood. So we embrace it.
It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Yes, it is.
Well, Matt, we appreciate the visit, and all the best on Wednesday,
guys.
And we'll have that coverage for you here on HRN Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, well, we appreciate it, guys, and appreciate the coverage.
All right, good job, Matt Crawford.
All right, thank you.
Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll step away for one final break. We'll come back and wrap up the show and tell you what's ahead. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Join us on HRRN for Zia Park's 5th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 22nd, featuring a total of 9 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth nearly $1.3 million in purses. Headlined by the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship, with nominations for all stakes closing Monday, November 6th. First post on Land of Enchantment Day is 12:10 Mountain Time, 2:10 Eastern Time. For more information, visit ZiaParkCasino.com.
The 19th running of the $1.1 million claiming crown returns to Gulfstream Park on Saturday, December 2nd. Created in 1999 by the National HBPA and TOMA, this year's event has attracted 294 nominations for a program that features 9 stakes races, including the $200,000 claiming crown jewel, $125,000 tiara, and $125,000 emerald. And with 4 claiming crown champions returning to defend their titles, the day promises to be better than ever. For more information, visit ClaimingCrown.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazara puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazara has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazara. An emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazara was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, wrapping up what has been an extremely busy couple of hours. We've taken you through racing at Churchill Downs with the Grade 1 Clark in our interview with Buff Bradley, talking about the player who is pointing for that race on Friday. And we started the show with Buff and then worked our way to Mahoning Valley in Ohio with Ed Vomack, who is the racing secretary at that racetrack. Eric Johnston joined us from Penn National. He, of course, the director of racing operations there, and then Matt Crawford, the manager of racing operations and the racing secretary at Zia Park just a short time ago. And kind of in between all of that, we had a chance to visit in studio with David Vest and Dustin Vest of Vest Fabrications. And if you want to give them a call and visit their website, you should certainly do so because they can take care of you at Vest Fab Certified Welding with all your farm needs, too. So, JT, it's been a busy program, and we now get ready to kick off, as I've been calling it all morning long, Feast Week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting racing. It was nice talking to all those racing secretaries and dignitaries from the different racetracks, and it's going to be fun. I think Wednesday night really going to be cool listening to all those races on the HRRN.
Yeah, and that's all on Sirius 219 XM 206, and Anthony Sabille will have the coverage for you. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to learn more about that broadcast and all of our shows coming up. And before too long, we'll have our 2018 broadcast schedule posted for you on our website. All the races that we bring to you exclusively here on the network. We'll all be back in the mix again, including the Pegasus World Cup at the end of January at Gulfstream Park, and that's part of their championship meet. And that's going to be just an amazing event, and looking forward to seeing Gunrunner back in action, his first start since winning the Breeders' Cup Classic, and we'll see if he can go out on top. And from what I understand, I think that's going to be Gunrunner's final start, too.
Yeah, that's a little bit of bittersweet.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have him around for another year, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. He's had a fantastic career. Hopefully he goes out a winner and everybody will be happy.
We're 2 weeks away from the Claiming Crown on opening day of the Gulfstream Championship meet. We'll bring you coverage of the Claiming Crown right here on the network as well. And after Wednesday, that will be our next live race broadcast, and then we'll ramp things up into 2018, starting with the Pegasus World Cup and going all the way through another season of Saturdays at Gulfstream, which we brought you the past couple of years. beginning with the Pegasus World Cup, going through the Florida Derby. Every single Saturday, we'll bring you exclusive radio coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races that also include races like the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth. And that three-year-old program leading up to the Kentucky Derby at Gulfstream Park is really unparalleled.
Yeah, it's a great route to the Kentucky Derby, and Florida racing, just outstanding that time of year. It's really big fields and excellent betting opportunities, and it keeps continuing on and on. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, very, very well said. All right, don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show, all you have to do is head back to our website. That's horseracingradio.net. You can listen to the podcast at your leisure at horseracingradio.net, and you can check out podcasts of all of our other programs, including Jock Talk, Trainer Talk, and the call-in show that we do every Thursday night presented by Brisnet. All those for you at horseracingradio.net. And of course, the Weekend Stakes Preview, a look at all the big races, and that race, that show presented by Naira Betts.
Yeah, we've been on fire lately. Lots of long shots. It's good. If you're driving to Granny's on Wednesday night, don't forget to listen to Anthony.
There you go. All right, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for Sean C. Chauncey, with our social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And, yeah, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.